Awesome. Welcome, everybody. This is Money, Power, and Influence podcast number 17 now, and I'm excited for another episode. You know, I've been just seeing so much growth and expansion. I know, Arash, you released your product last night. I'm releasing mine here in like 2 hours, and it's just been it's been amazing, man. I've really had a phenomenal week. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. What's up with you?
How exciting to release a product, right? Isn't it exciting? It's fucking exciting for me. So I've been waiting at 10 p.m. tonight. The 24-hour release ends, and I've been not looking at my PayPal. It's a game I play with myself, you know? I like to wait till the last one comes in. So at 10:20 p.m. tonight, or 10:30, between that time, I'm going to get a total of what was done, and I'm predicting the best release I've ever had. What's really exciting is the testimonials that are coming in. I mean, I know how powerful it is, right? I know how powerful it is. I know what I can do with these products. And already the first lecture, what people are writing about it, you know? So when I look in the future, I see that this will be, it's a matter of time. I mean, well, however and whenever that time comes, it comes. But that time is coming as surely as the sun is rising. One day in 24 hours, I will make easily over $150,000. Easily, 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 because the numbers keep going up and the product is that powerful. So I'm so excited, and I know yours is coming out in just a few hours. So pretty fucking cool that we have this podcast, and I bet you if we put our statistics together in 48 hours, that would be pretty fucking cool to see what we did, and we do it again. What's going on with you?
Yeah, man. You know, now that we're on the topic of the products, I literally got to the point, obviously inspired by seeing you do it. It gets to the point where I had so much in my head about what I was studying and what I've learned and what I've applied in my experience that I just felt that I had to give it, you know what I mean? And that's really the level that I've gotten to, is I'm always finding somebody to help and teach. I'm constantly teaching my team members, everybody in Close the Deal. I mean, I have breakthroughs all the time, and I'm just constantly sharing it with people. Is that kind of the process you go through? You just feel like it's oozing out of your pores, and you just have to give it to somebody?
Kind of. I have the world is starting to see it. From the at the risk of sounding all mystical and shit, you know, I know I'm not a regular human being. The world is starting to see that very quickly. So for me, you could say that there's imagine a library, and there's bookshelves, and in each bookshelf there's, you know, 30 to 40 books on a certain subject. So in my mind, there's these bookshelves with these subjects in them, and what I'm doing now, because of where I'm at in my life, is I'm simply going and grabbing a book. So The Eye of Ra was a section of my mind when it comes to the power of the subconscious mind and how to use it. This would be one of the biggest bookshelves in my mind. So I can do The Eye of Ra part 78 if I fucking went for it, but it's not going to happen right now. I'm going to let it go for a while and then do the next thing. But now, immediately, we're on to the next thing. So tonight will be the lecture for the new product, which will be June 2nd, ready to go. And my task has always been to top each product, and I see the response that Eye of Ra is bringing, and I'm so excited tonight to do it. So for me, it's a matter of all this knowledge that's been sitting there, stored up, and you having the right moment in my life to be in the right position to be able to put this out. For example, if I had done the Eye of Ra, let's say 4 years ago, I knew everything in that 4 years ago. Easily. I mean, I've known probably for 10 years ago. 4 years ago, if I had produced the Eye of Ra, it wouldn't have the impact that it has today because of who I am and what I've already demonstrated to the world. So because of that, what I say now, when I predict the future, 4 to 5 years from now, who I will be to planet Earth and the population will allow me to release the next level of knowledge. So for me, the level of knowledge gets released based on my influence and how many people know me. There's only so much I'm going to say when there's only what? I don't know how many thousands are watching me right now. But when we get into the millions, you know, then when these goals, as the numbers get bigger, I'll release the next level of knowledge. That's how it's done for me.
That's awesome, man. And that's a really big point for everybody listening in on this. That's very smart. And that's been kind of up my sleeve too. You know, I've been kind of filtering what I'm saying depending on who I'm in front of and how many people are watching. One thing I wanted to touch on today, Arash, is something that's relevant to us today and what we're doing as far as when we talk about business and that kind of thing. And I've been getting this question more and more, and this is something that people really have to begin to understand. I know we're just going to scratch the surface here on the podcast, but, you know, and it's a mindset shift, right? We see so many people are stuck in what is called the employee role, right? And they have that mindset. And then I've made that successful transition from employee to business owner, right? And even some people who own their own businesses are still operating under the employee mindset. And I've seen this phenomenon more and more. You know, when I look in my industry of real estate, I would say like 98-99% of realtors who would, quote, say they have their own business are actually just employees working in it, right? And this is something that is really unknown to most people. And what I mean by that is, you know, I always ask people, is the CEO, like Steve Jobs, is he doing the day-to-day work? No, he's not. He's just running the show. And that's the shift that I made this last year, year and a half in my real estate business. And, you know, it came down to a basic datum for me. I calculated for everybody listening, and I highly recommend you do this. Calculate how much you're worth per hour and what your most highest dollar paid activities are. So, for example, me in real estate, I know that if I'm talking to clients, meeting with clients, and getting contracts signed, those are my two highest income producing activities that I should be doing at all times. So what I do is all the other additional tasks I leverage out to other people. If I'm worth, let's throw a number, $300 or $400 an hour, we'll go with $300 an hour. Any task that does not produce me at least $300 an hour, I'm going to delegate to somebody else, right? Which is why now I have two transaction coordinators to handle my files. I have a part-time assistant that does all my administrative work, and myself and my agents are either involved in calling or going door-to-door generating leads or going on meetings and appointments to get people to sign a contract and get us to move forward, produce more commissions and income, and then ultimately get paid. And this is something that's not really misunderstood, or it's really misunderstood by people, and they don't grasp it. They get stuck in the employee role. I know so many agents in real estate and other sales jobs that are just doing everything, right? When they should, if they simply shifted a little bit, employed one person under them, started building their empire, and then focused on what really is going to bring them the most money, they would be a lot more successful. And I see this, obviously, you display this, Arash, because you own multiple businesses and you're not running the day-to-day in each one. When did you have that realization, and how was the process for you as far as, you know, building these businesses and ultimately leveraging more and hiring other people and using manpower to help you grow?
That's a great question. I have a very interesting perspective on this. I actually consider myself an employee and an employer. I'm not an employee. So, for example, let me give you an example, right? I did a Diamond Mine video earlier today, and then I did a YouTube video, which is a free video. And for my YouTube video, I really actually had a hard time being inspired today to talk about something. I mean, if you consider that if you go on YouTube right now and put Arash D. Bazaar, it says over 6,000 videos. I've fucking sat in front of that fucking camera at least 5,000, because let's say 1,000 of those are interviews that I didn't actually sit there, which it's not, right? At least 5,000 times for free, not charging, I've sat in front of that fucking camera and made a goddamn fucking video. That's a lot, because that's not in one day I did 5,000 videos. That's consistent work over a long period of time. And so, not considering the lectures that I do live on Facebook, not considering the weekends that I put here, and the fucking products that I do, which is me at night teaching my girlfriends, there's a lot of speaking and a lot of fucking information that I'm putting out. And sometimes, like today, I was like, shit, I am just dry. What the fuck am I going to tell these people in the world that is worth something to listen to? Watch this. And yet, it's not something that I feel robbed because they didn't pay for it. That's where I'm off. You know, like I could sit there and do something that's worth $1 million to them, but this is going to be a free video. So it has to be something that's worth a certain amount for them to actually watch it and get value from it. And it has to be worth something where I don't feel like I'm sacrificing my life for somebody. That was a very tough decision today. And I was like, I was dry. I had nowhere to go with it. But here's what's interesting. I consider myself an employee of planet Earth when it comes to this knowledge. I work for the people that live on the planet. I truly believe that I'm doing a job here. And so I sat here on my own fucking computer for an hour and a half today, going through video after video after video, just trying to get my inspiration up. Now, that was me as an employee knowing I have a fucking job to do today, and I'm going to fucking do it. And finally, boom, it hit me. I said, here we go, and I put a great video up, which fulfilled both needs. I don't feel like I was robbed, and I feel like people listening to it will get something really great from it. That's one. As an employer, this is different. I hold the right that if I feel, like I said, if I feel that my knowledge and my knowledge is what I sell right now, right? So let's say I was selling computer, whatever the fuck it is, my work. I feel that if my work is not being paid for at the right exchange as an employer, not an employee, then what I can do is take that work and delegate it to somebody else, teach them how to do this job that I did, and have them do it. They become my employee, I become the employer, and I'll still get paid, but this time I'm getting paid off of the other person's work. Because if I put myself in there, like for example, what's a prime example of this? I don't teach martial arts anymore. I do 3 times a week, but it's not for money. I'm doing it because I just want to fucking go over there and do it because I feel like I own martial arts a little bit. And I don't teach fitness classes at the fitness center. So the fitness classes and the martial arts classes are being run by my employees. And the truth is, someone hit me up yesterday and said, or 2 days ago, how much for a private lesson with you? I said $1,000 an hour. And they're like, holy shit, $1,000 an hour. I said, yeah, man. He said, don't mess around. I said, I'm not messing around. I'm not, what the fuck do you mean don't mess around? An hour of my time is $1,000. I don't care if you want to fucking eat with me, shit with me, or go to the beach. I can make $1,000 an hour. So you pay me that if you want to come learn martial arts. That's what it is. And so as an employer, I look at the world and go, okay, can I still deliver all of these other products, right, and still get paid from all these different income sources that I make, income sources? Now I got to train somebody else to do that job, which for them is an expansion. They weren't a trainer. Now they're a trainer. Then I'm going to make them the best trainer. Then I'm going to make them a director and all that shit. In the meantime, it allows me to create my product, which nobody else can do. Nobody else can do my videos. So that becomes me as an employee. I make my videos. I make my products. I'm an employee of the people that buy it. As an employer, I'm the one who hires and fires people that create my lesser products. I really don't know if that makes sense, but that's how I see it in my mind. I'm both. I'm an employer and an employee, and I switch hats depending on what it is I'm doing. But in one day, I'm both every day.
No, man, it makes a lot of sense. I love how you describe that, because I feel like that's even higher level and you're more effective that way. And the reason I'm bringing this up is, a lot of people don't have this mindset. You have the ability to be able to do both at a very high level. And, when I looked at a choking point in my business and my growth and what I was doing is I had this tendency, because I am a perfectionist. Like, I want to make sure that if I deal with a client, everything is done correctly and this and that. And I found myself so pretty much like attached to everything I was doing. I was like, oh, I have to handle the paperwork. Oh, I have to do this. I have to do that. Even if it was a low income producing activity, I found myself stuck in it, and it really stopped me from growing. And I had to learn to really place my trust in people. Another error that I feel I was making was I had this vision, and as much as I want to grow my business, I know that other people are not going to, especially if I get employees, right? Like right now I probably have 4 or 5 employees in my real estate business. I have people helping me on the tech side with the website. I may be able to offer them money, but I know that my baby is my baby, my business, my vision. I can maybe get my girl to buy into my vision, but every other employee I have, I know, isn't going to be buying into my vision 100% like me. It may be 80%, 90%, whatever it is. So what I need to do is form this group of the highest effective people that I can get, the most skilled, the most trainable, the most coachable, because I know if I can do that, I can create this army. And I remember a trainer that I met with in real estate, he gave me this analogy. He said, look, man, you're great at what you do, and you could probably go out there and get a client a day and just be killing it. But imagine if you hire and you train 10 people to work under you, and they're out there now using your skills and what you taught them to get 10 clients every day now, even if you just cut it down the middle, or even let them keep 75%, imagine how much more money you're going to make. And that really expanded my mind because, you know, and I hear you say this all the time, we're not just looking for, one little city. We want to be world known. We want to take over. And that's really something that I've embraced, and it's forced me to expand my vision. And, you know, I wanted to throw it to you, Arash, and say, was your vision and plan just domination from day one, or just something that, like, grew over time?
That's a great question. For me, it's always been a pull and a desire to have everything I've envisioned in my mind. I wanted to have the most beautiful women that I could lay my eyes on to be with me and want me. This was a desire. I mean, it sounds like a fantasy maybe to many people, but it's a reality for me. And it just started with just that. And I don't think I'm unique in wanting that. I think every fucking human being wants that. Every man, every guy I know wants the most beautiful woman that they look at to want them. So there's one. Two, you know, I decided recently I was going to buy a Ferrari. And I had decided that I didn't want a Ferrari. Right? Until very recently, I have a friend of mine. I have a new social circle, as I mentioned. I don't know if you remember, about a month or two ago, I said I was going to create a new social circle going out. So it took about a month, and I'm in a new social circle. And one of my friends is extremely, extremely wealthy. And I'll tell you exactly how wealthy he is in conversation. He said to me, he's a professional athlete, and he said to me, he goes, last year, because due to this thing, I lost my contract for a year, and he goes, I lost $30 million. So his contract was for $30 million. That's not sponsorships and shit like that. So I have not made $30 million, right? I haven't. And I know with the money that I have, how comfortably I live. So when he said that to me, first thing I thought to myself was, you know, they say if you're the richest person in your circle, you're in the wrong circle. And I said, fuck, I'm in the right circle because this guy has made 30 times more than I have. Cool. That was the first step. Second step was he said, hey, let's go to these fights, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, he said, I'll get my driver. I said, cool. But we had to go in his car from where we were to his house. And his car happened to be a blacked out, tinted out, all black, black everything. You see that black seats and everything. Brand new Bentley. Now, I had not driven in a Bentley before. I've seen it in car shows and shit like that in car rooms. But I had not been in a Bentley before. So when I sat in the back of the Bentley and we went around, by the end of the night, I looked at my life and I said, wow, you know, I think that having, you know, I own four cars right now. Having four cars has kind of lulled me to sleep. I have four cars, but I don't have a fucking Bentley like this. And I started to get rejuvenated. And I said, you know what? What was the car I always wanted? Now, I think a Lamborghini looks better than a Ferrari. I just think it looks like a goddamn spaceship. But since I was a child, the name Ferrari would always move me emotionally. And so I decided, fuck this. I'm going to get a fucking Ferrari. And if I get a fucking Ferrari and if I put it in the garage and never drive it, then so be it. But when did I decide that's not for me? So there's the material, there's the woman, and there's the material. And then when it comes to, this may sound kind of different for people, but abilities. I always wanted abilities. Like, I always wanted to be a fucking superhero. And the power that I always wanted was like a mystical power to be able to create illusions and create realities that I myself can live in and others can live in. And so I never, ever gave up on these three things, and I still haven't given up on them. And so what drives me or drove me, whatever the question you asked me, was simply I wanted these things. I was handed a certain deck of cards in life, And I had to figure out a fucking way to get these things using the cards I had. And based on the cards I had, I have created the life you see, and I continue to create it. Now, if I was born into a different life, I would still do whatever I needed to do to get the woman, to get the fucking material objects that I want, and to get the ability that I want. And that has been the only driving force, is that there are some things that I want in this life. I feel like this is supposed to be my experience in this life, and I'm supposed to get it. That's the game I'm playing in life. So that's it, man. But I really like that question. That actually was fun to answer for me.
Awesome, man. I can totally relate, man, big time. And I always love hearing you describe those stories and your thought process. That always even gets me hyped, man, because I take a lot from the stories that you tell. So I wanted to shift now, Arash, to a question, and this was actually directed towards you. And the listener asked, how do you know what thoughts are your own? How do you know which thoughts or what thoughts are your own?
I don't know, honestly, but I can tell you, I don't know where the thought comes from. There's so many times I get these inspirations. It just happened 4 or 5 days ago where I was just in a completely different world and everything. The new product coming out after the Eye of Ra will be because of that. My new abilities, I mean, it's just crazy, right? I was in a fucking shower and boom, suddenly I knew all these things. And then, you know, my mind goes, is this aliens downloading into me? Is it my fucking demon spirit? Is it like, I don't know. I don't know where the fuck it comes from. But I do, I decided, here's how I answer this question. I don't know where it comes from, but I do know this. I then, wherever it comes from, I retain my right to choose whether or not I want that thought. That's the difference. So wherever it came from, it came from. But I'm not subject to its control and its effect until I own the thought. So even if somebody else puts a thought in my head, let's say, right, let's say mind control, which is very possible, and I'm very fucking skilled in it. If somebody puts a thought in my head, so suddenly I start to feel like, God, I'm just like, am I good enough for this? You know? I don't know. I mean, do I even have what it takes? Like, that kind of thought comes in my mind. I then take a moment, or as many moments as necessary, and I analyze it, and I go, is this a thought that I want to entertain? Is this a thought that I want to obligate myself to and keep in my mind or not? It's either yes or no. If it's no, then I do everything I can to disregard it, not have it, not care about it, and I don't act on it, basically. And if it's a yes, then I own it. Now, the moment I own it, I don't care if it came from fucking Satan or Jesus. I don't give a shit. If it's a thought that I own at that moment, it's now my thought. So that's how I do it. I don't know where these fucking thoughts come from. I have absolutely no idea because my mind is all over the place many times. But I do choose which ones I'm going to keep and act upon and which ones I'm not. I mean, I think that's a very sane way to look at life. You're going to have all kinds of crazy thoughts in your world. Don't act on all of them. Act on the ones that relate to your purpose and your life. That's how I operate.
Awesome, yeah. Choice. I love that. Beautiful answer. I have nothing to add to that. That'll be it for today, ladies and gentlemen. I'll give one final plug, then I'll pass it to Arash and we'll end it. My product, The Undercover Code, comes out in exactly 1 hour and 20 minutes. You go to my website, briancasella.com, and pick it up. It will be $97 for the first 24 hours. I've made a lot of promotional videos about it. This product's a little bit different from what I normally do, and I'm anxious to see the results and the testimonials. And I'm really freaking excited. Also, my Close the Deal program, $97 a month, everything to do with sales, creating a lifestyle, and making more money. Arash?
Awesome. Yes, the Eye of Ra, by the time you guys hear this, will probably be gone, but you can still go get it for double the price, and it's worth it. It's worth it fucking 10 times the price at arashthepart.com. And outside of that, for only $97 a month, you get daily coaching from me called Diamond Mind on arashthepart.com. It is phenomenal. It's unreal. You can't imagine the skills you're going to acquire by having the Diamond Mind. So these are daily coaching about 4 to 5 days a week. I put up a video, and then on the weekend, I do a one-hour lecture that you get to ask me whatever you like, okay? And I highly recommend it more than anything. Please mark my words if you're listening to this podcast number 17. You know, if there's a podcast number 200 or 250 by then the whole world will be talking about it. So you might as well get on it now so you have the advantage over everybody else and you can feel safe and secure in your abilities to handle anybody using your mind and your communication. That's about it, my brother.
Cool. See you guys. Thanks for stopping by. We'll see you next week.
Later, brother.